Well, thank you. It is honestly such an honour to be with you. And I had written out all these introductions I wanted to do, but I feel like they've been done for me. So I don't need to say anything apart from that it really is an honour to be here. I want to thank Gareth and Sarah because, really just in the last couple of years, getting to know them a little bit more, they've just poured into my life, blessed me, encouraged me. And it really is an honour to be with your church today. Really want to say thank you for that. You know, about a month ago, I was actually sat in Gareth and Sarah's garden in the beautiful sun, particularly with Sarah. We were sat chatting, and as we sat at the end of the garden talking, we got onto this whole subject of friendship. And it was just a really sort of special conversation that we had, to be honest. And we were just chatting about the importance really in life of having these really good connections and just having good friendships. And I've been really honoured to have so many great friends all over the world. And I think during this season of COVID, it's been interesting for us, hasn't it, in terms of friendships, because I found that I have been able to connect with people through the internet all over the place in ways that maybe I would not have done before. And so it's been just really interesting for me. But I'm sure, like me, you've probably struggled when it's come to this kind of connection with one another that we've missed out on, but being grateful for the internet, of course. But I don't know if you've had any connection problems like I've had. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, talking to one another, but particularly over the internet. So I made a list of a few connection struggles that I've had just to share with you today. And I'm hoping, I can't obviously see you very well because you've got masks on, but I'm hoping you're going to be able to understand the struggles that I've been facing. The first is the struggle that I've called the freeze. Now, I have to say, this has been my favourite because I FaceTime my sister pretty much every day. We're really close. And it's always made me laugh when we'll be in the middle of a FaceTime conversation and then her face freezes. And the thing is, it never freezes in a normal way. I don't know if you can relate with me, but it freezes in a strange kind of way. Now, I'm a little bit sneaky, and so every time this happens, I try to get a screenshot. I hope you're with me on this, everyone, but I take a sneaky photo and then I send it to her after to just say that I've got the freeze. Then there's the speed up, and I don't know if you've also had this, where you'll be in a FaceTime conversation with someone and then all of a sudden it goes quiet and you think, have they understood what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden they speak really, really fast and you think, whoa, what's happened to them? But something's gone wrong in the connection that has made them speed up. Then there's the silence. That annoying point when you're on FaceTime to somebody or you're on Zoom and you're chatting away, you think, you know, you're saying all the things you need to say and you realise, not sure they've heard a single word that I'm saying. Then you have this really awkward moment where you start kind of repeating yourself and hoping that things are going right. And you're like, hello, are you there? You start shouting, as if shouting's going to help the internet, but it never does. And so it's a little bit strange. And then finally, what I've called the sudden hang-up. Again, midway through a conversation, the person disappears. And you think, as if that would happen in real life, when you're talking to someone, they just walk off. It would be so rude, but it happens all of the time when it comes to FaceTime. Now, I have to say, Kathleen over here, who's with me, who's my adopted grandma, and as Sarah said, I'm actually writing her story at the moment, which is an incredible honour. I won't give away Kathleen's age, but she's in her 80s, and this year, during lockdown, she's learnt how to use FaceTime. I mean, honestly, I gave her my old iPad. She's learnt that. She's been on Zoom. She comes to our Zoom prayer meetings. I mean, it's honestly incredible. In fact, I think she's probably more of a pro than some of us because she's picked it up so quickly. But the reality is we need good connection. And it's interesting, actually, as I've been in worship today, listening to what's been said, and just thinking, wow, God, it's as if you've set this up for today, for me to really be able to share this. Because connection is so important, as we know. And in this last, 18 months, there's been some strange loss of connection, probably. I don't know if you remember back at Christmas, when we were told just before Christmas that we couldn't gather together as families. And I'm sure we've all got similar feelings as to what that was like. And I remember on that day that we were finding out the announcement, I was at our church and we were packing these hampers to go to local hostels and people in need. And I had probably started at 8 a.m. in the morning and it was now 5 p.m. and I hadn't stopped. I mean, I was constantly putting things in boxes, handing them out, putting them on trucks to go out. I mean, it was all a little bit crazy. And so I was so tired. Then we had the announcement that we would not be able to see our family. And so Mum phoned me. She said, "Hannah, we just need to get in the car. We've got till midnight tonight to be able to see my sister and her family." So we got in the car. We drove about an hour and a half. I live in London. They live in Wales. We met halfway at this service station. And it was the most emotional thing I think I've ever really felt, because we drove into the service station and my sister, her husband and their two kids, they drove up. We got out the cars. We had 15 minutes together for our Christmas celebration in some ways. We exchanged presents. But what was happening all around, which really stood out to me, was all over this service station were all these cars full of families doing exactly the same thing. I mean, it was just emotion upon emotion, as you can imagine. And as we drove out of the service station crying our eyes out, I thought, I don't even know what I'm crying about now. I was sad about my sister. I was sad about all these other families that were in exactly the same position. Because we've all faced this thing where we've probably got to a point where we've lost some form of connection that we did have. And so maybe we've got out of a little bit of practice when it comes to this thing called community, or what I'm calling good connection with one another over the past year. And so I'd really love to encourage us in this area of regaining good connection today. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to Acts 2, 42 to 47. This is a really famous passage in Acts because it really is the start of the early church. And I love reading about what the early church was like and thinking, I hope we've got some of these similar characteristics today. But as I began to really study from verse 42 to 47, I've often looked at it and thought, what are the different aspects of the church that it's telling me? But on this occasion, I just decided to look at it in terms of community. What does it say about the connection of the believers? And this is what it says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Father, as we've listened to your word today, God, I pray that you would speak from it into our lives and help us to put into practice those things that you're really settling in our hearts today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I haven't got too long, but I want to speak today about five different aspects of community from the early church and maybe some things we can learn from them. Now, when I preach, I do like to give everyone a bit of a practical application, so I hope that's okay, but I'd love you to go home and maybe act on some of the things that I'm saying. So characteristics of good connection. Firstly, fellowship. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Now, I will admit to you today that I've always had a little bit of a problem with this word fellowship. Now, I'll explain. Obviously, it's a very biblical word and I sound very terrible right now. But I've always found the word fellowship to be a very Christian word. Do you understand what I'm saying today? You know, lots of people in the church world use it, but if you don't come to church, you have no idea what this word fellowship is. And I always felt like we overuse the word. In fact, my dad used to say to me, "Hannah, it's all the fellows in the ship." Now, I've later discovered that that was not correct information that he was giving me, but that's what he used to tell me. And in fact, the other day I was driving through my town of Dagenham and there was a massive billboard and it was advertising a local church and it said, "Come and join us for fellowship," in massive words. And I thought, what do the people of Dagenham no, like, they don't know what that means. They'll be like, okay, what is that? But the reality is we often use it. But when I looked into the actual word, the word, I can't quite pronounce it because I don't speak Greek, but koinonia in the Greek, which is defined as partnership, sharing, contact, intimacy, or community. So I kind of prefer the word community to fellowship, but we'll keep with it for today. And I love languages, so keep with me here. But interestingly, the word that's used there is a feminine word, and the masculine form of it is slightly different. So there's feminine and masculine in Greek. Stay with me. I did French and German at A-level, so I love this kind of thing, but realise it's not everybody's thing. So there's masculine and feminine, but the masculine is more so a kind of business agreement, whereas the feminine really speaks into the relational aspect. I mean, isn't that interesting for all us ladies here today? But what I love about the church is it's a group of us gathering together, both male and female, under the name of Jesus, being able to worship, serve, and live in community together. And what I love about the local church is it is, I mean, I don't know you here today, but it is a mix of people. I like to describe it like a box of chocolates. You know, when you have a box of chocolates, you don't always like every chocolate, but they are in the same box. And so, you know, you have to get on with it. But the reality is that's what the kingdom of God is like, all of us gathering together. You know, when in my church, there was a young man that used to come, or probably still comes, I'm sure. In fact, he did work experience with us when he was about 15. And I loved this kid. I mean, he was hilarious. He was on the autistic spectrum, so sometimes could come across slightly intense. And he was super intelligent. So if you ever had a conversation with him, you had no idea what he was talking about. But it was, I just loved it. And so he came to our youth group, and in the end, I invited him to church. And so him and his dad came along to church, and he couldn't quite make it through the whole service. He'd stay for some of the worship, then he'd wander off into the cafe. And some people were like, oh, I don't know if he should be wandering around. But for him, this place became so special to him. And I remember speaking to his dad and saying, you know, it's really great that you're coming to our church. And he said, this is the only church I've found that accepts my son. And it was in that moment something hit me inside about this thing called community that we call the church, just the power of what that was, that he really was able to grab hold of it. In 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 14, it says, just as a body, though, one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. We are this fellowship of believers, this community of believers gathered together. And so my fellowship challenge for you today is to reach out and reconnect with someone from your church community. Now, you might be here today, and there may be people you've not spoken to for months. I mean, I know that's the case with me. And so my challenge maybe as you go away today is to think, who can I reconnect with in this community of believers that maybe I haven't for a while? The second characteristic of community is what I'm calling the word fun. And I hope this is okay to talk about fun in church today. Acts 2:44 says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. And then it says they ate together with glad and sincere hearts in verse 46. You know, at the start of the pandemic, I found myself obsessed with watching the news. I mean, every day, all the time. I wanted to know what was going on. And it got into a few months and I thought, I don't think I can take this anymore. I mean, it was so negative, as we know, that I thought, no, I need to have a little bit of a break because things were becoming slightly overwhelming. Now, the reality is when it comes to living for Jesus, that it's not boring. Jesus says that he came to give us life and life to its fullest. It's an exciting kind of life that we live in community together. And this word common, again, comes from the same root word from fellowship, meaning together or shared together. They gathered together with glad and sincere hearts to be able to spend time with one another. It was a special level of connection that they had. They enjoyed being together. Job 8:12 says, "He will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy." Even in the midst of Job's pain, if you know anything of Job's story, his life was full of joy, full of promise, full of the hope that God brings us. You know, just a few weeks ago, I went to Legoland, not my own, because that would be weird, but I went with my niece and my nephew and our whole family, in fact, and we were there, and I've got to be honest, I haven't been to a theme park in a long time or on a ride for a long time, but I went on this ride with my niece, which, I'll be honest, it wasn't scary, but it's been a while, so I was a bit nervous. I mean, it was going round and round fast and up and down and all sorts of things. And I sat on that ride with my niece, who's 5. Both of us, our arms in the air. We were screaming. I mean, nobody else was doing this, but we were like enjoying the time of our life. And it was funny because as I was on that ride, I just felt God speak to me. Like, this is what it's all about. I actually want to fill you with joy in my presence. And I really believe that for you today. I think Jesus wants to reclaim this incredible joy in his presence. That's why it was so great today to be gathered together worshiping, because we're enjoying our faith in Jesus together. We're saved, we have hope, we are loved, we have something to celebrate together. And so my fun challenge for you today is to recharge with enjoyment together. Maybe you can talk about the goodness of God. Maybe you can see the goodness of God in nature. Maybe you can play a game together as a group of families, or just create space for laughter. The third characteristic of this connection, I've titled, because I wanted to use words that all began with an F, because, you know. So it's 5 to 500. So stay with me here. Acts 2:46 says, "Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes." Now, I find this a really interesting passage because it tells us of two different types of gatherings. It says they met together in the temple courts. Now, in the temple courts, there wouldn't have just been one or two people. This was a really large area. And so there would have been this large gathering of people. But then when they gathered together in their homes, there would have been a smaller gathering of people. And both were important. Now, it's interesting when it comes to church because sometimes people swing one or the other in those ways. Some people say, oh, it's all about the large gathering. And some people say, oh, it's all about the small gatherings. But according to this passage here, they somehow managed to balance the both. And I'm sure it is a little bit of a balance. But they were able to meet together in large gatherings and also in smaller gatherings. Now, interestingly, in the last 18 months, we've often had to meet in very small gatherings. I mean, even at some points, just in our homes together. But I want to encourage us today to come back to that point of gathering in both the large and the small. And I know you guys here have some kind of small group system. And so I would encourage you, whether you're watching online or you're watching here today, to get yourself into a smaller group, but also to really understand the power of gathering today like we are today in the larger gathering. And I'm sure as the pandemic eases off, there'll be less restrictions on us to be able to do that. The both are important. In fact, we see this outworked on the occasion when Jesus feeds the 5,000. He's teaching to this large group of people in Mark 6:30 to 44. But when it comes to the point of providing them with food, it says, "Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass." So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. There was the large gathering, and then there was the smaller gathering. Jesus saw that both was important. So my 5 to 500 challenge really is to return to community. Now, obviously, if you're sitting here today, you're doing that. But remember, there's two aspects to that. That's us here today, and that's also being in smaller community together. Number 4, food. It says they broke bread in their homes and ate together. You know, when I was youth pastoring, we had this project that we started up called the Dining Room Project. And it was really sparked because my mum could see that I was working with all these rather challenging boys at the time. And she wanted to do something. And she said, you know, what can I do? Well, I can definitely cook for them. I mean, my mum's an incredible cook. And so we set up this project where all of the young people within our youth group, whether they came to the church or they weren't originally from the church, we put them in groups with a youth leader, and they visited a home and they sat around a dining room table and had dinner together. I mean, it was a very, I guess, simple thing to do, but it was so powerful. And I will never forget the times, because I was brought, you know, the worst kids round to my parents' house, and we would sit round the table. I mean, in all honesty, it was a bit risky that they were coming round anyway and they knew where they lived, but we went for it. And they sat round the table, and some of them had never sat round a table with parents before. And so it was a really powerful thing as they watched me interact with my parents. They were able to eat this incredible food. Then at the end of it, I said, okay, everyone get up, we're going to go and wash up. And they'd just stare at me. I'd say, no, that's what we do here. So they'd get up and we'd all be in the kitchen washing up. And it was a really powerful thing that took place around a table. In fact, just last week, one of the guys that did that when he was maybe, I don't know, 16, said to me, you know what, I always talk about that moment that I sat around the table in your parents' house, because it has always stuck with me. And there's something powerful, I think, about sitting around a table and enjoying food together. I actually think it's very spiritual. I mean, this is, you know, basic life things that we have to eat. But actually, that act of sitting together with people around a table is quite powerful. One of my favourite accounts in the Gospels is in Mark 2:15 to 17, which says, while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. You know, one of the things I've most missed about this pandemic is being able to sit around a table with friends and enjoy a good meal together. And in fact, when it talks about this in the Bible, it's referring to communion, which we took earlier. But interestingly, you know, in our mindset today, we have this certain way of doing communion. That's why I loved having a croissant. I mean, what a great idea. Just, you know, brilliant. But in the early church, they would have sat round a table having a meal, you know, like many of us will do after this. And during that meal, they would have said, let's just stop for a moment and remember what Jesus did for us. And it was such a powerful thing. And in some way, I want to encourage that today, that as you maybe sit round a table with a group of friends, with a group of family, and actually say, before we even eat, I know we say grace, but maybe let's just take a little bit of time to reflect on the goodness of God, on what he's done in our lives. And so the food challenge for you today is not to eat too much food, but to reflect over a meal together. Maybe as you gather as a community of people, you can reflect on the goodness of God as you eat together. And finally, number five is faith. Acts 2:47 says, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You know, just a few days ago, I was over this side of the river, as I call it, because to get over into Kent, I have to come over a very annoying bridge. And I was over this side, and to get back over the bridge, there was awful traffic. If you've ever been over the Dartford Bridge, I'm sure you can appreciate the pain. And so I was driving towards it, and I thought, no, I'm not going to sit in traffic for 3 hours. So I've got friends that live not far from there. So I texted them or called them and said, can I just pop in? And then I popped into their house, and we were just sat down. We had a meal together, which was very nice. And particularly the husband of my friend doesn't have much faith background, I guess. And so we were sat there chatting, and I recently gained my ministerial status with AOG. So he'd seen that I put this up on Facebook, thank you. So he started asking me about it. Now, it's very different, one of you maybe asking me about it, to someone that doesn't have any faith background. And he said, well, what did you have to do, you know? So we start this conversation, and a few things struck me in the conversation, because at one point he said, you know, when me and my wife were going to get married, we went to this church and they were asking us about when we got baptized, and I couldn't answer. And he said, I felt like such a heathen. I thought, ooh, that's a, that's a strong word to use. I didn't quite know how to respond. I said, oh, I'm sorry, you know, you felt like that. And then he said to me, he said, you know, I've got a lot of interest in faith. I just don't know enough. I mean, it was like the best opening line to be able to share faith with anybody. And to be honest, I was quite like, whoa, I wasn't ready for this moment. But in that moment, I realized, wow, what an opportunity to be able to share with this guy about my faith and what's brought me to this point. And so we started chatting. We started chatting about the Alpha course. I said, would you do the Alpha course? He said, yes. I said, well, let's do the Alpha course. I mean, it was just like an incredible moment. But the reality is, when it comes to good connection, we have to be the type of people that are willing to connect with those that don't sit in this room today. And this is something I'm really quite passionate about. It reminds me of the story in Acts 8, 26 to 46, where Philip is directed of God to go to a certain place, and there he meets a man who is reading the book of Isaiah, which would have been in a scroll at the time. And Philip asks him if he understands what he's reading, and the man replies, how can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. In fact, it reminded me of my friend. Even as I was talking to him, I thought, whoa, this is a Philip moment. He's basically handed me a platter and said, please tell me about Jesus. And I really believe in this post-pandemic world we find ourselves in, that people are going to be like that. They're going to be wondering, maybe they've thought about life and death a little bit more. They're going to be wondering, you know, what is this life that I'm living? And they might even hand us a platter and say, please just tell me something. And you have an incredible responsibility and opportunity to be able to share with people. So my faith challenge for you is to restore people to hope in order to be able to build great connection. I wonder if maybe the band could come and join me just as I close today. So to conclude, few things I want to encourage you to do. Firstly, to fellowship by reconnecting with your church family. And maybe you can encourage others to do the same as well. Secondly, to have fun by recharging with enjoyment with one another. To understand the importance of 5 to 500 and return to community, both in small groups and large groups. When it comes to food, maybe to reflect over a good meal together of the goodness of God. And finally, when it comes to sharing our faith, to restore people to the hope of Jesus that we know. I actually forgot to mention this at the beginning, but as I think Sarah mentioned, I lost my dad nearly 3 years ago now, I can't believe it. And it was very sudden, we weren't expecting it. He was very healthy. And so in light of that, I actually wrote a book about my grief journey. And so, yeah, if you're interested, it's called It Is Well. You can find it on Amazon. Just search my name, I guess. But I wrote this book out of my journey of grief that I faced. But when it came to that time, Dad went to Jesus very suddenly, as I said. The 2 weeks leading after that, I saw the church at its absolute best. I mean, I've got to say, for 2 weeks solid, I was staying with my mum then, there were people in our house from 9 a.m. till 10 p.m. I mean, I was never alone at all. There were people coming in with food, as you can imagine, it was like a florist. In fact, the same poor florist came round to our house probably 10 times in one day. I mean, she wondered what was going on. People came in and fixed things in the house that had never been fixed for years. I mean, it was amazing. People were coming in to clean. We had a whole group of people. They came in and worshipped with us one night around the piano. There were just beautiful, beautiful moments in the midst of deep grief. And I think for the rest of my life, I will never forget those times as times where I thought, this is what the church is. As much as gathering here today and worshiping together and hearing the word is church, so much as well is that gathering of people around one another in the face of crisis. And the reality is that we need community like that and like what we've been talking about today. And I really want to encourage you as a church today to fight for community, There's a lot of isolation in our world today, but I'm really believing that this church, Harbour Church, will be one of great community, which I'm sure it is because as I've come in today, I feel that sense of community together, that gathering together under the name of Jesus, being able to worship. But I'm praying that you'll also be able to reach out to those that are not yet understanding of that community or are missing out on that, or even like my friend, kind of desperate for something like that, to be able to encourage them, gather them together. So I wonder if just as we close today, I'd love to be able to pray for you and really along this line believe that God is going to anoint you and fill you to be able to build greater community in this area in which you live. Lord Jesus, today we thank you for your word because it's so clear to us about what it means to build community together. You love us and you love us being together as the people of God, and also being able to reach out to those that are not yet part of this community. And I pray for each one of us here today that we would do everything we can to be able to do that, to build community, particularly in this world in which we live right now, in light of all that we've been through in the last 18 months, where maybe people have felt somewhat isolated or disconnected. God, as the people of God, may we be able to gather together and bring back that sense of community and that sense of connection. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stay up here a minute. Can we just show our huge appreciation to Hannah? Wow, what a message, seriously. I feel as I've been sitting down there, I used to play netball. I was quite good at netball, just saying. I feel like Hannah has thrown me a ball. Yeah, do you get that sense? I feel like you're throwing us a ball here. And my question to you is, are you going to catch it? Yeah, so I don't know whether you just even physically now want to go catching the ball. Catching it, you know, so you might want to just do that if it helps you. But come on, let's just say that's what I feel in my spirit. You've thrown us something, Hannah, and it's our job. We can let the ball go, we can go, yeah, nice message, and we drop, but it's our ball to catch. So come on, are you going to catch the ball? You're going to catch the ball and run with all those challenges that Hannah has given us this morning. And before you sit down, Hannah, huge thanks. I'm getting way too close to you. I break all the rules. But the thing I want to say is Hannah's book is so worth reading. Like, I'm not a reader, but I read her book in like, I don't know, 2 days. I'm a really slow reader, but it was a brilliant book. So go on Amazon, buy it. It's a fantastic book. It Is Well by Hannah Williamson. You haven't got any copies here of you for us to buy? No, that's fine. Fantastic book, and I really just want to commend that to you. Come on, another huge appreciation. Let's stand together as we conclude our service. We're going to celebrate. Let's celebrate church. Let's celebrate community. Let's celebrate all that God has created. Thanks.